Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. It's beautiful out there. I like to end the program that way. Sitting across from me is my co-host, Mike Costantino. We're going to talk about the U.S. debt ceiling crisis today.
Might as well. Everybody else is.
Yeah, and it's in the news, and it's causing tremendous amount of anxiety across the whole United States, particularly people who listen to the news. If you don't listen to news, I guess, you don't even know what's happening. Let's first talk about what the debt ceiling is. But before we do that, this whole crisis needn't be happening.
Artificial.
It's artificial.
For sure.
It's a crisis decided by the House Republicans to leverage their power.
Yeah.
See, they don't control the Senate and they don't control the presidency. The way to leverage their power is this huge cliff that the United States is heading off. If it doesn't increase its debt ceiling, that gives you leverage. Right, Mike?
You bet.
That's what's happening.
Well, that's it. We're going to assume that the people have heard debt ceiling a lot in the last, few months, and that some strategists argue that it's all about leverage. And you leverage any time that they give away. If they give away seconds, then they're giving away leverage. So you're going to take that right up to midnight, the midnight of Armageddon. That's the Republican House strategy. Use all that leverage that you can.
Yeah. The debt ceiling, some things about it. It's a complicated thing. The money's already been spent. It's already or at least authorized by Congress. There's a difference between the debt and the deficit, right, Mike?
Right.
The debt is the accumulation of the deficit. And the deficit is the difference between the income coming in to the government and the outgo, the money being spent. So when you have a massive recession like we've had, the amount of money paid out for things like unemployment goes way, way up, but the amount of money coming in goes way, way down because nobody's making any money and they're not paying any taxes.
Right, and that's that confusion seems to benefit the Republicans. They want to confuse the deficit and the debt ceiling. And the idea is that we've already incurred. Congress has already authored. This is not paying your credit card bill. This is not limiting spending. This is not paying money you've already spent.
Yeah,
and that's
before 1917. There was no debt ceiling. It was introduced in 1917 because the country had gotten more and more complex. Remember, the United States, the first census in 1790, there's about 3 million people plus here. Now there are 300 million plus. It's over 100 times. So the country's gotten more and more complex. By 1917, having the Congress authorize each case of debt that the government wanted to issue, the Treasury wanted to issue, had become too complicated and cumbersome. And so what they did was introduce the debt ceiling. Most economists, most experts in and out of government think the debt ceiling is an anachronism. No other country in the world uses a debt ceiling like this one to try to control spending. You control spending by just not authorizing the money to be spent.
All right. All right. Yeah. It's pro forma usually. This is just 70 times. We raise it, over 70 times.
Yeah, over 70 times the debt ceiling's been raised. This is something that comes up over and over again. Normally it's not a big conflict. You certainly don't push the United States to the edge of default over the debt ceiling. It's just something that you do. It has been used in the past. When there's an argument, say you don't want to pay for a war, and the money has to be provided for a war, so you do a kind of a protest vote. So there have been protest votes in the past. Nothing like this has ever happened. Nothing this serious has ever happened.
And before. The consequences are devastating. As to the nature of the debate, some Republicans, Jim DeMint, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Michelle Bachmann, Ron Paul, Alan West, are skeptical about raising the debt ceiling altogether, with some of them suggesting that the consequences of default are exaggerated. Now, they've been having all kinds of private meetings with different Treasury people that to find out that the results are not exaggerated. But they argue that there's other extensions that could be possibly tried by the Treasury.
Understand, folks, that U.S. Treasury bills are the most conservative investment in the world. They are the ground of investment worldwide. And to damage our full credit and faith in Treasury bills can raise the price of Treasury bills, it can raise the price of government, and it can damage something. Treasury bills are one reason that U.S. currency is the dominant international currency.
Let me read a quote from Lawrence Simmons, former Treasury Secretary, warned of serious consequences of default. He did this in July, this month. And he's throwing around figures of $150 billion in additional interest. There'll be bank runs on this and other financial markets, bank failures, like there has been in the past, but for a long. In response to demand, Timothy Geithner sent a letter, replying that by just extending interest payments and doing other shortcut methods, that would, we're talking about selective default then, that he'd have to cut 40% of the government payments. And that would harm the reputation of the United States so severely that there was no guarantee that investors would continue to reinvest in new Treasury securities, forcing the government to repay the principal on the existing debt as it matures, which it would be unable to do under any conceivable circumstances. The quote is, there is no alternative to the enactment of a timely increase in the debt limit.
This would be a dangerously self-inflicted wound that would make the United States government seem to be dysfunctional worldwide, not only to other governments, but to investors who buy U.S. securities.
Why hasn't the market reacted? And that's what some strategists I was listening to the radio this morning, that the market hasn't reacted. Until they do, the Republicans won't be focused. As during the original debt crisis in 2008, or financial crisis, when the market went down 700 points, everybody got focused and passed TARP. And then they criticized the snot out of it after. But
yeah, they voted against it to start with. This is back in the Bush administration. They voted against it. And then, wham, everything right. collapsed. And then they turned around and voted for it. Remember, TARP starts under Republicans. It was originally a Republican plan. It's unpopular. It worked really, really well.
Because it worked, and it made sense.
It was unpopular because it bailed out the great big holders of and powerful entities in the United States, and big banks and that kind of thing.
So right now, everybody's 401k is back up to where it was, you know, almost anyway, 2 or 3 years ago. And so it's easy to play these games, as you pointed out, this artificial crisis.
Even with the stimulus, we're still in this recession. It's a different kind of recession than we really ever had before. See, normally when you go into recession, the Fed, which controls money supply, drops the rates it charges banks, and the banks drop the rate they charge you, and then you can suddenly be able to buy a car or a house or a refrigerator or something that you couldn't afford before. When there's inflation, the Fed raises the rates. And so you can't buy as much, and that cools the economy down. We're at what they call the zero bound now. The Fed has effectively reduced the rate to zero, and we're still not climbing out of the recession in the way that everyone had hoped.
Let's talk about constitutionality, because that's going to be the conversation in the next couple of weeks.
Right. You folks may have heard that they're talking about the constitutional solution or the 14th Amendment solution.
Right.
So let's assume that the Republicans and the Democrats in Congress can just not agree. The United States is heading into default. What would happen, Mike? What can the president do or not do?
Well, he suspends the debt ceiling. And he just does what a lot of experts would like him to do. He does away with it, and spends and authorizes and pays our bills on time.
Can the president do this? Well, the Democratic and Republican and liberal and conservative and libertarian scholars
all over the place
are all over the place on it. Some of them say, yes, he should do it. Others say, no, the Congress has the only right to borrow money. It's a lot how you interpret this. These are major figures, Nobel Prize winners and stuff, and they're uncertain what would happen. The 14th Amendment says, Mike, I don't know if you've got the exact quote, the 14th Amendment says that nothing can be done that can cause a question even about the debt of the United States that's been authorized by Congress.
The quote I have, they can't do anything that prohibits the questioning the validity of all lawfully authorized U.S. public debt.
In other words, you can't question it. Yeah. And if you can't question it, then the president has a right to say, this is a questioning, this is a denial of American public debt, it's a violation of the 14th Amendment. Other scholars say it's more has to do with presidential power. It goes way back to Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War. The country is facing a crisis. What is the extent of the president's power?
Yeah, Garrett Epps argues that the president would not be usurping congressional power by invoking Section 4 to declare that the debt ceiling is unconstitutional because the debt ceiling exceeds congressional authority, calling it legislative double counting, as paraphrased in the New Republic. Because Congress already appropriated the funds in question, it is the executive branch's duty to enact those appropriations. In other words, given Congress has appropriated the money already via federal programs, yada, 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 the executive is obligated to enact and therefore fund them.
We hope it doesn't come to that. We've got just a couple of minutes left. We hope it doesn't come to that. It is a radical thing. Probably the House would vote to impeach the president.
Right.
The Senate wouldn't, and that would be that. But, it is something that, you know, that hasn't been done in a long time.
We'd have another year of that silliness. And that's the other thing, which brings us to today, that the Republicans want to they want to have this argument again in 2012. And that's, Obama wants to end it now, do something that keeps it going through the election. The Republicans want to have this argument again.
Right. In other words, one of the Republican proposals is that the debt be raised in little increments, 1, 2, 3, and then, you know, this is a lot of political games. It's time to stop playing political games, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, and get this done so that the United States is not engaged in shooting itself, and not just in the foot, but I don't know where you'd say, not in the head, but, you know, it's a very damaging thing to do. And that we shouldn't come to that. Democrats and Republicans need to work this out. They need negotiator experts to teach them how to negotiate or something. I don't know, Mike.
Well, yeah, that's what Charlie Cook says, that as long as there's leverage, as long as there's seconds left to midnight, that the Republicans, like Kantner, like Boehner, won't give away a minute of leverage.
Folks, go out and check out our website. It's www.vvid.org. We're an organization. We're not a commercial thing. Check out. We'll have references. We'll have explanations. We'll have citations.
You'll find this brilliant discussion and many others there. We put the Tom Tabak and Chasm graciously gives us the podcast, and we put them up there so you can analyze this.
So if you want to hear Noam Chomsky or any of the other people that we've interviewed or talked with our take on Medicare and Social Security.
We talked to state people, Kirsten Sinema, Chad Campbell. Great discussions. Good thinkers down at this. There are a few people, few reasonable people down at the state capitol, and those are two of them.
Well, thanks for being with us. VVID.com. .org. www.vvid.org. I got to get that right, Mike.
Who we got coming up? We got the state.
We're going to have Avi Chomsky is going to be talking about immigration.
Right.
She's written 8 books. She's Noam's daughter. And we'll have her August 15th.
All right.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.